Before we go into the scripture, I want to introduce our special guests for this morning. We're lucky to have Nikki Holland, who has been on a driving trip of about 3 weeks, driving with her husband and three kids, and coming from Indiana. And from here, they're on their way home because they have already visited First Friends Whittier. And we're also glad to welcome her sister and her father. Nikki's here, her husband Brian is here, and I think you saw their three kids, Caleb, Joshua, and Isaac, right? Okay. And then you have some kids, and we saw them also, but we can introduce them later. We're going to have scripture, and the children are already dismissed, so I don't have to say that. But our scripture is Luke 11, 9 through 13. So we can do it from the Pew Bible. And in the Pew Bible, it's on page 99 in the New Testament section. And it's chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. Page 99, Luke 11, starting from verse 9. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers asks by his son for a fish. He will not give him a steak instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we'll have Nikki speak when she's ready. And after that, we'll go into open worship. For those of you who are new to open worship, there's a statement in your program, and also there's a yellow pamphlet right in front of you in the pew, so you can read that. All right.
Thank you so much for having me here today, especially on Mother's Day. I wrote this before I realized that it was Mother's Day, and then I thought, oh, maybe I should change it. And I was praying about that, and I realized that motherhood, whatever your experience of motherhood, comes with doors opening and closing in unexpected ways. And so I left it as it was. And I hope that it is edifying on Mother's Day. My name, as you know, is Nikki Holland. I'm hoping to be heading to Belize this summer, hopefully in August, to start working as the director of Belize Friends Ministries. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a bit, but first I want to tell you some stories. This morning I want to tell you about some times in my life that doors were slammed in my face, and I banged and banged and banged on those doors until I was exhausted, and I finally turned around to see what else there was. Many of you are probably familiar with Parker Palmer. I'm going to Earlham School of Religion right now. I'm in my third year, and for one class that I had, we had to read his book, Let Your Life Speak. And there is a passage that deeply resonated with me as a theme in my life, probably a lot of lives. He wrote, "Each time a door closes, the rest of the world opens up. All we need to do is stop pounding on the door that just closed, turn around, which puts the door behind us, and welcome the largeness of life that now lies open to our souls. The door that closed kept us from entering a room, but what now lies before us is the rest of reality. When I met my husband, Brian, who's sitting there, we were missionaries from fundamentalist churches. I was working with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and he was working with Operation Mobilization. We met on an OM ship that sells books all around the world. After we left the ship, we got married, and we were hoping to go to Indonesia as part of my work with Wycliffe. I was hoping to be part of a translation team there. A few months after our wedding, on Mother's Day, we discovered that I was pregnant with twins. Well, we discovered twins near Father's Day, actually. But on Mother's Day, we learned that I was pregnant. And we learned in subsequent months that Wycliffe did not have the ability to continue to have care of my ministry in light of our complicated twin pregnancy. This was the first really big door that slammed in my adult life. And boy, did I bang on that door. Me and my huge belly, two babies in there, the three of us banging. While I was banging, my husband was looking at the rest of the world. And he found a good job in New York, across the country from where we were living in Texas. So we moved to New York, and our three sons were born there, Joshua, Caleb, and Isaac. Brian's job was with a defense contractor he'd wanted to work with his whole life. So he was working there, and we were raising a pack of boys, and it seemed like everything should be fine. But we started to feel another door closing, and it was the door to our church. We were learning that my job in life is not, in fact, to submissively follow my husband at home and other men at church. My job is not to stay quiet and only ever be a backup singer in worship teams, even though I have a degree in music. I learned that my job in life is to follow the call of God, no matter what that calling is. My job is to have babies if God gives me babies and to love them with all my heart. And it is also to make decisions with my husband and serve in churches with my singing and also my speaking voice if God gives me words to speak. This was not a welcome thought in my church that we were going to in New York. At the same time, we were learning more about the wars that our country is in and how my husband's work was directly contributing to those wars, and he began to feel sick in his soul. He was learning that he was having trouble worshiping the God of life while also directly participating in work that brought death to people. The Holy Spirit was working in our hearts in ways that the people in our churches and even some of our relatives and dearest friends could not understand. They loved us, and we loved them, but we no longer felt that we could stay where we were and do what we were doing. So for these and a few other reasons, we moved from New York to Mexico in January of 2015, and my parents and brother and sister and her family moved to Mexico from Arizona for their own reasons. It was awesome moving all together. It was really cool. We lived together in Mexico for about 3.5 years. It was wonderful. We started going to the only church in the area that had an English service, and it was a conservative Presbyterian church similar to the ones we'd gone to in the States, similar to those churches where the door had started to close. After a few months, I started having trouble breathing when I was there. I physically couldn't breathe well. The sermons were the same as the sermons I'd grown up listening to. I remember one sermon in particular on predestination in Romans 9. And I remember thinking it was exactly like two other sermons I'd heard on the same chapter of the Bible from two other pastors. Three pastors, same sermon. And so I sat in the pew that Sunday and I thought, is this what it is to be a faithful Christian? To sit and listen to the same interpretations of the same passages of Scripture every Sunday for the next 50 years or whenever I die, with no room for growth or new interpretations? I couldn't breathe in that church, so I couldn't go every week, but determined to bang on closed doors as I am, I made sure we went at least every other week. I thought it was important for my kids to understand that spending time worshiping God in community is important. Then one Sunday, the pastor said to me, "You will be my backup singer in English. She will be his backup singer in Spanish. No harmonies, just melody, because there are two languages." I thought, if There's no harmony. Why are there backup singers? I looked over at the other backup singer. I realized, oh, it's because we're women. So we have to be called backup singers in order to justify our presence in the front of this church. While I sang that Sunday, I looked at my children and my sister's children, and I thought, do we really want to raise our children in a church where they will learn that people can tell you how you can worship God and to what extent? Where they will learn that boys are a little bit more like God than girls are? And no, we didn't want that. So we turned from the closed door of the churches of our youth and went searching the rest of the area for a church where they loved Jesus and where women could preach. We didn't find one, although I did get to hear in Spanish about how women should be silent in church. Super fun. I came across a friendship church in my neighborhood, and I thought, friendship, isn't that a Quaker thing? What are Quakers exactly? They're like Mormons, right? Or Jehovah's Witnesses? So I looked up Quakers, and I discovered that no, Quakers are not Mormons. I spent all day reading for weeks. I would read in the day from church websites and Robert Barclay, George Fox, Margaret Fell, everything I could find. And then in the evenings, I would tell my husband and sister what I was learning. It was amazing. I sent emails everywhere. This is what happened to us, and we think we're Quakers, and can we just say that? Can we just be Quakers? And people wrote back to me, yes, you can be a Quaker. They wrote, welcome. We felt for the first time in years that we had found our people. We felt truly that we actually were Quakers, and that's why working in the defense industry was painful, and that's why gender equality was so important, and that's why we were changing in ways that did not make sense in the context of the churches we'd gone to our entire lives. The Friendship Church in our neighborhood did not turn out to be a Quaker meeting, and the closest one we could find was in Mexico City, about 24 hours drive from where we were, from where we lived. So we started meeting together for worship, just a few families. After a couple of months, I thought, oh, it would be nice if someone knew what to do. So I started going to seminary at Earlham School of Religion, which is a whole story in itself, but for another time. So to review, the door to Indonesia and Wycliffe closed. We turned and found a beautiful life in New York. And the door to our denomination of Christianity closed, and we turned and found Quakers. The next door I'm going to tell you about is the most recent. January 2018 was our 3-year anniversary in Merida. I was on a walk one day, and I thought, you know, usually when I get to 3 years in a place, if I get to 3 years in a place, I'm usually feeling like it's getting to be time to move on. But I don't have that feeling here at all. We're just happy. Things are perfect. Brian loved his job. I loved my studies and the work that I was doing. The kids loved their school. We loved our house. We loved being with our family. It was just all amazing. Then what, of course? Slam. At the beginning of February, my husband's company let go of their international employees. And we pressed through our job search. We found that we could get a few small contracts, but actual jobs in both of our fields. They were all saying remote work over the internet is fine, but you have to sleep and take your showers within the borders of the United States. Let me tell you, I banged on that door really hard for months until I was exhausted. I could barely get out of bed. But in the summer, armed now with this quote that I read you earlier, which I read in May of that year from Parker Palmer, my husband and I turned from the door of staying in Merida, and we agreed to look and see what other options there were for us in this world. We started applying everywhere, and we made an agreement that the first person to find a job, that's where we would go. The first thing I thought of when we made this decision was the job posting for the director of Belize Friends Ministries. I had seen it several times over the last year or so, and I read it every time I came across it. It was so exciting to me. I always thought, wow, this looks like an amazing job. They're working with kids and community programs and growing a baby church, all the same things that I'm doing in Merida, but with teams of people. Too bad it's not in Merida. But now here I was, open to the idea of leaving my city, and the job was still posted, so I applied. As part of our discernment process, Eden Grace invited my family to go for a visit to Belize. And while I was there, the word that kept coming to my mind was inspiring. I felt so inspired every time I met a new person or group of people. The people I want to talk about right now are the students. I realized that these kids are also people who had banged on a closed door. In Belize, kids have to take a test at the end of eighth grade, and if they pass, they can go to high school. And if they don't, they can't. Belize Friends School is a school for kids that could not pass this test, but who really do want to go to high school or trade school. It's called a second chance school, but my boss Eden says that it's really a last chance school. These kids have banged on the door of their education as hard as they can, and each one of them has had to make the decision to turn from public education and see what else there is in the world for them, and they have found Belize Friends School. Belize Friends School has been headed by Candy Young, a principal who inspired me with her love for these kids and her strong vision for how she can continue to improve the education that the school can provide for them. Belize Friends School is housed in Belize City Friends Center, which also houses community programs and a new Quaker church. Oscar Mbali, I don't know, did he come here? Oh, I love Oscar. He's the pastoral minister there. He's from Kenya. He inspired me with his gentleness with the kids. He smiles at them. He's very tall. He goes like this. And he laughs silently. The kids can be going totally crazy in what should be a relatively quiet time of waiting worship, and he just smiles. He just smiles. And he works with them, and he finds ways to meet the needs that he sees in their lives. He finds ways to facilitate them meeting each other's needs in really beautiful ways. I'm happy to say that my husband and I did find jobs that would enable us to stay in Merida, but while we were facing the world, we fell in love with the people at Belize City Friends Center. We were so excited and grateful to have the opportunity to walk through that door and to go work with Oscar and the school board and the principal and these kids who refuse to give up on their futures. I pray that each time a door closes in our lives, we may turn and see such a beautiful world waiting for us. I pray that God will always help us move into our futures with the same courage and determination and support that the students of Belize Friends School have as they are moving into theirs. Thank you.